Welcome to this podcast from St. James Scottish Episcopal Church in Leith. This is a 25-minute edit of our Sunday morning communion service. For more information, please visit our website, www.stjamesleith.org.uk. Together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. This is our creation time collect. We'll say together, God our Creator, we greet you in the glory of this new morning. Give us reverence for all your creation and respect for every person, that we may mirror your likeness. Help us to love your world as you love it, to take risks to value it as Jesus did, and draw us into the wildness and wonder of your Holy Spirit. So let's come to this text, Psalm 19. I'd like us to see if we can, when we leave here this morning, we're perhaps leaving with this psalm with us in a way that maybe we haven't done before. So we'll look at it in three different ways. The first thing I'd like to do is get everybody to get a pencil. Normally, we just sort of bash through the psalm, and it sort of comes and it goes quite quickly, and then we're on to the next thing. And we've been trying to sort of address that by taking time to sing parts of it recently. And so haven't done this for a while, to actually stop and be with the psalm for a day. Psalm 19, the first thing to do, I think, is to split it into three sections. So draw a line under verse 6. So verse 1 to 6 is the first part. And then verse 7 to 10 is the second part. And then 11 to 13 is the third part. So just by drawing a line, that'll just help us to see this, the sort of structure of it. And we'll end up by singing the sort of last verses, or 14 is words that are kind of familiar to us. So I've asked Suzanne to do a setting of that for us to sing. So if we just learn that first of all. Okay, so we'll sing that as we go along this morning and also when we say our prayers. So let's have a look very briefly at how the psalm is put together. So the first bit is an evocation, a celebration, if you like, of the heavens and of the earth, and to appreciate them as a universal witness to the glory of God, which is understood by people of all language and all times and all cultures. C.S. Lewis thought that this was the greatest poem in the Psalter. The sort of odd thing that happens is at the end of verse 6, it apparently changes subject from the glory of creation and nature and God being present in that. It suddenly changed subject to the law of the Lord is perfect. So what I'd like us to try and grasp today is that these two things are linked, that God is made known to us, like the sun, God is known to us, and like the sun, the law or the knowledge of God is able to illumine and uncover what matters in this world. And then the last section, the psalmist meditates. By meditating on all this, he feels that he's been laid bare before God and asks for forgiveness and help, which is what we've just ends up with what we've just sung. Calvin was fond of referring to creation as the theater of God's glory, and many composers have been inspired by these first six verses. The transcendent quality of nature, the act of creation, bound in love by the Creator for the created, like a bridegroom on the wedding day. Or we would think of it more like a bride emerging. You know, when we first see the bride, I think that's the kind of analogy. And when we gaze at the world in its glory, it's a holy thing. The heavens are telling of the glory of God. And the firmament, isn't that a great word? The firmament proclaims God's handiwork. And this idea that these things are speaking to us day by day, night by night, declaring knowledge, and we're being spoken to all the time. You know, when we look at one of these sort of things, but anything, you know, when we look at leaves that are all changing color just now, and we all say, oh, well, that's nice. It's more than nice. It's speaking to us all the time of the knowledge of God, coming out to meet us like a bride or a bridegroom. Like a strong man runs, that's a glorious thing to see, or a strong woman running with joy. You know, that was the famous Eric Liddell line, wasn't it? When I run, I feel God's pleasure. And you can see that in people sometimes. That's a wonderful thing. Now, the second part of the psalm is as if there's a pause, and the psalmist says, he doesn't say that, but it's as if the psalmist says, it's like the other kind of knowledge of God. It's like God being revealed to us in what he calls the law. He's thinking of the Torah, so we can speak about that as the knowledge of God revealed to us. In the Mosaic Law, but also the great revelation of Christ. The knowledge revives the soul, makes wise, rejoices the heart, enlightens the eyes. All of these decrees, commandments, and ordinances are sweeter than honey. It's all part of the same thing. So at the end of the psalm, the 11 to 14, it's a prayer that the people are who's reading the psalm will engage with the psalm's message, which the psalmist thinks is an essential guide to ethical and moral conduct. And then importantly, that God is not an enforcer, but God who rules with justice and mercy, and who provides wisdom and forgiveness.
As we pray, let us seek the wisdom of God, asking for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and in the name and the love of our Lord Jesus. And I'd like to begin with a prayer from the Iona community that introduces many of the themes or underlines many of the themes for our prayers and our service this morning. For the healing of our world, we pray, for a holy healing, for the tearing down of cruel barriers, and the building of bridges for peace. For the ending of needless exploitation and the growth of reverence for our planet. For replacing what the wealthy want with an abundance of what the world needs. So we pray for the weary world and its people, especially where there is widespread suffering and loss of life, where there is war, where there is the persecution of minorities and ethnic cleansing. We call upon you, Lord, to give your wisdom and skill to those who work for peace. We remember especially the warfare in Syria, suffering of over 13 million refugees, unthinkable. And as another exodus begins from the province of Idlib, we cry to you on their behalf, and we pray for a ceasefire and negotiated peace quickly, Lord. Pray about the natural disasters caused by typhoons or hurricanes in Japan, the Philippines, southeast coast of the USA. May relief efforts be swift and effective. We pray for governments and rulers, that countries, regions, provinces, and districts may be governed with wisdom, that they may be given leaders who, rather than seeking self-enrichment or power for its own sake, have a spirit of public service and a love for the people. We especially pray for the government of the United Kingdom and the leaders of the European Union, that our withdrawal from the Union might be negotiated with skill and wisdom and without the impact of crass political ambition. Let arguments be made without rancor and heard without suspicion and distrust. Help us in this mess, we pray. pray for this planet Earth, giving thanks for the growing consciousness of our indissoluble, interwoven, our enmeshment with creation. We give you thanks for the increasing respect for the complexity of its systems. Give us the wisdom we need to live on this planet without destroying it. Help us to feed our populations without making it impossible for future generations to live. Give us the political will to change our habits of production and consumption. Show us how to be good stewards of your precious gifts and how to be humble participants in a living, breathing world that is so much larger than humanity. We pray for the church, of which we are but one small part. Archbishop Justin's call for action on the payday lender Wonga, and his criticism of the unfair labor practices of Amazon serve to remind us of God's preferential bias toward the poor. Guide us as a church and as individuals towards meaningful action and sacrificial giving. Help us to work for a fairer and a more just society. We pray you will help us unite in the body of Christ in order to proclaim with integrity a gospel of healing and reconciliation. We ask that you will bless our ministers, all workers lay and ordained. Give them strength and grace and the guidance of your Spirit. Lord, bless your church. Finally, we pray for those close to us who are injured, sick, or dying, and for those who grieve. We especially pray for Larry in hospital for a second burst of chemotherapy, and for Shannon when she's at home. In the next few moments, we name others, either out loud or before you in our hearts, knowing that they are closer to your heart than we can ever imagine. We bring these and all our prayers to you, Lord of love, grace, mercy, and wisdom. In the name of Jesus Christ. Be
This is the table, not of the church, but of the Lord, and it is ready for those who love him and those who want to love him more. So come, you who have been here often and you who have not been here for a long time. Come, you who have tried to follow and you who have failed. Come, not because I invite you. It is our Lord and it is his will that those who want him should meet him here.